Hello there, and welcome to the House of a Thousand Discourses
This is my passion project podcast.
that provides propaganda. This is your OG unofficial co-host, Huff Daddy. Get that straight, Bob Sainer.
Yeah, with your bitches.
So,
What's happening?
what's happening? I don't know.
Today we went on a dude date today.
Yeah, with your kid liking.
Yeah, man.
He's a shit.
It was awesome. I'm surprised how well behaved he was. He was actually quite the angel today, hanging out with his boys.
Yeah, he was pretty behaved. I thought it was hilarious when we went to a disc replay and every pop figure he saw, he was just like amazed.
Yeah, it was literally about every other breath he goes, "Oh, dad, dad, dad." I'm like, "I know, dude, it's cool." And
There's even like another customer there. They had like a stack of pop figures that they were holding. He's like, "Oh, you want this one? You want this one?" Like, he was like trying to help him out.
yeah.
That shit cracked me up, dude.
They didn't seem to mind either. They thought he was a cute, funny little dude.
Yeah, dude. It was
It
a
was
good time, man.
awesome.
It was a
Me
good time.
and you were looking at DVDs, and I can hear him over there chatting up ladies about pop figures and shit.
Right? It's about to be.
He's just grabbing pop figures and giving them to the person that works there. Like, "Hey, hold this, man. I'll be right back." They're like, "Okay."
He's about to be my
Yeah, right?
wingman,
Fucking A, man. It was cool, that awkward moment of silence, because we were both drinking, so we might get a couple of those. But yeah, then we went to Buffalo Wild Wings. Told us an hour wait. We're like, "Fuck this, we're going across the street and look for pop figures and horror movies." And we did, and then we came back and we sat down right away.
Fuck yeah.
Ate some food. It was fucking awesome. Yeah, it was really badass hanging out with you and my son today, man.
Oh, dude, you guys are like family to me, for real. Like,
I was just gonna say, you're like an uncle to him. Like, he sees you
cool.
more than he sees my own brothers, you
Dude,
know?
it's crazy. Like, this past month, I've been like seeing you every Saturday. I have nothing
Yeah.
better to do, dude, besides hang out with my buddy and just drink, you know?
Right, fuck it.
I mean, I enjoy your company, man, and
Fucking ain't right,
I love
man.
your family. I love you guys, so.
Yeah, dude, even on family nights you come over.
I
Like,
mean, fuck it, man.
next Friday or Saturday, depending if you work Friday, like
Man.
me and Dora's got date night planned to go see the new Candyman. I'm like, "You want to see Candyman?" She's like, "No, but I know you do, so I'll go." And I'm like, "Do you care if Huff comes?" She didn't bat an eye or nothing. It's date night, dog. And I'm like, "Do you care if Huff comes?" She's like, "No, he can come." I'm like, "We got to get him a chick." He's like, "Leave him alone. Let him go out and get some ass. He'll find a girl." I'm
By
like,
the
"I
way,
know."
ladies, I am single, so
And ready to do the mattress mambo.
the mattress mambo. So, yeah, if you got daddy issues and tattoos and like metal music,
And tig bitties.
let me check your medicine cabinet before I date you, though.
Yeah, that's a good call. You've had some psychos, huh? Let's get into the dating world of Huff
Oh
Daddy.
my God, dude. So I'll talk about one of my exes that I dated 10 years ago. I was 19 and she was 25 at the time. This is when I lived with like Craig and Matt.
Members of his band.
Yeah, members of my band. It was kind of
Do I know this girl?
Jen, do you
Well,
know?
you don't gotta say your fucking name.
Oh fuck, I'm being all personal and shit on you. I mean, whatever. She
I do not remember it, Jen.
So, but like she had different names. She worked at all the strip clubs around here. Tiger Tails, fucking Bigfoot.
Oh, Jen! No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, whatever.
You should have said something.
She went by as bad as it sounds, she went by Luna, Raven.
Ah, what a whore. She should have went by Gent. She was fucking cool. Should fucking slap her titties together to the double bass.
Everyone's hitting that G string, bro.
Yeah, I know, right?
Guitar
The
joke.
Gent string.
Guitar
Oh, I
joke
get
and
it. G
stripper
string,
joke.
yeah.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, shakalaka, motherfucker.
Anyway, so that was like.
It's not 4 o'clock in the morning, by the way. It's 11:58 p.m.
Yeah.
So just so you guys know,
And
we're
we're
not
only
that
like a couple
hammered.
beers in. We're.
For reals, we've been
Then.
busy all day out and about going to the
Yeah.
fucking Buffalo Wild Wings and
I felt
shit.
like I lost weight and then I ate B-dubs.
Right, dude.
But anyways, back to
So
that.
Jen the whore, what was she like?
All right, so she was a stripper. I was young, dude. I was like 19, dating a 25-year-old.
Damn.
And we had a serious relationship for like 3 years, but it was bad, dude, the whole time. We, like I said, me, Matt, and Craig, we all lived in this house. I felt like it was a party house at some
Oh, for
times.
sure.
People would show up, other bands would show up. Just there was one time, dude, I opened my bedroom door and there's like 10 people in there all doing blow. And I'm like, "What the fuck? Get out of my fucking
Did you know
room."
these people?
No, dude. There was
Dude.
all my room just snorkeying it up, bro.
Dude, my brother was telling me when he was younger and he first moved out and he had his own house. he would come home from work and there'd already be parties. And he'd walk in the door and people would be like, who are you? And he's like, who the fuck are you?
Dude, this would...
This is my fucking house.
This happened for like a good 3 years of my life, dude. And now that I think about it, I fucking hated it. Especially because... So, I was 19 years old.
And how old was your guitar player Craig at the time?
Oh, fuck,
like,
dude.
Same age or you guys
Craig, about... Craig had to be in like his early 20s. Like, okay. 23, 24 maybe.
Craig's my age about?
Craig's 35, dude. No, he's not 35. I was going to say. He's like 33, 34.
Because I'm 34. Yeah. I'll be 35 this year. How old's Massengill,
Craig,
your drummer, Matt?
Matt, I think he's like 31 or 32. I'm sorry if you listen to this and I guess your age is wrong, but they're a little bit older than me. A little bit.
Okay, but not as old as me?
They're experienced as in... So I'm 19. They're like in their...
Because Craig's already bald.
Stress, dude.
Probably. So, or genetics.
So anyways, I'm 19 years old. I get kicked out of... I don't necessarily get kicked out of my mom's house. Her ex-husband at the time didn't like the fact that I was getting tattooed and lived under the roof. They're like, well, if you can get tattooed, you can pay the bills. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you, dude. And I left. And me and my brother, we stole... They had a bar full of liquor and like, hey, we're stealing this bottle of fucking Captain, like a fifth.
Right.
Didn't even notice it. So anyways, back to the whole stripper thing. So the way I met her was Matt dated a stripper, Craig dated a stripper, I dated a stripper.
Did you meet these girls at strip clubs, or...
I don't know if they did. I think Matt worked with one, and he just, like...
Matt was a stripper, too?
No. Like, she had, like, her daytime job, bro.
I know, I'm kidding.
And
She was a male lady.
But anyways, they worked at, like, a call center or something. So,
okay.
I think it was NCO.
Like a sex talk thing?
No, like NCO. I don't know.
I'm fucking with you.
I'm saying so much personal information right now, but I don't think they care. This was lifetimes ago, 10 right. years ago.
They don't listen to this podcast.
So anyways, we're talking about our exes. So I met her through them because they're all strippers. Worst concoction ever, bro. It's just like random people showing up in my house, parties all the time. The first year of me like moving out of my parents' house, I got fired from my job. I was unemployed for a whole year. But a year later, I got my shit together and I've been working at my...
How the fuck do you pay bills and shit? Your homies carried your weight?
Dude, I love Craig and Matt to death, bro. They grew me up.
They were never like, bitch, you need to get a fucking job.
I mean, yes, they were like, dude, get your shit together.
Right.
19-year-old Huff, fuck you, you know?
Right.
But they were like, hey, man. Like,
lucky you could sing metal good or they probably would have kicked your ass up. Like, dude, we need them in our band, though.
I mean, this was old.
I know.
Old days. And I appreciate the fuck out of them. They're...
For sure, dude.
I would give them the shirt off my back, dude. They morphed me into the man I am today. But anyways, so like a year later, I get my shit together. I get the job that I'm still at to this day.
Yeah, also we're talking 9 years ago.
Nine years, bro. So I'm like, I got it together. I got a house, whatever. So we're all dating. Back to the whole stripper thing. So we're all dating strippers. Party house, whatever. Toxic as fuck, dude.
Oh, I could imagine.
Super toxic. I'm talking about like, I just worked a 12-hour shift. Why the fuck are you all partying at 3 in the morning, dude? Like,
right.
People in my house, back and forth, drug dealers.
That you didn't even know.
Yeah, people I didn't know. Drug dealers, other bands I haven't even played with yet, dude. Like, I would walk in a room and...
Who invited these people?
I don't even remember, bro.
So, like, one person came, hey, is it cool if my buddies come over? I don't care. And then it's like, guy's like, can I bring my buddy too?
I would walk into a living room, someone had the, like, covers and sheet over them, and they're, like, fucking each other. I'm like, who's that on the couch? Like... Getting their
right.
dick sucked.
Dude,
like,
I watched SpongeBob here with my cereal, you fuckface.
Dude, for real.
And Jesus.
I'm glad it got to the point where we all decided, like, hey, this is bad news, dude. Like, eventually we all got our shit together, we grew up, and that was that. But, like, this bitch is crazy, dude. She threw a knife at me one time. I came home. I was hanging out with somebody, and I came home, like, it was like, you know, you just drink all night. You come home at, like, 6 or 7 in the morning. Where the fuck were you at? She grabbed a knife, threw it at me hard as fuck, got stuck in the wall. I'm like, whoa, bitch.
Ooh.
She eventually cheated on me, and that's what ended that.
Oh, did she? Really? Couldn't see that coming.
Don't date strippers, guys.
Right.
It's fun for, like, the first week.
Yeah. No shit.
But, yeah.
They always say don't bring your work home with you. Well, yeah, that bitch is bringing everything home.
You know what's funny, though? Like, I've only been in, like, strip clubs, like, 3 times in my life, dude. There's no...
I feel awkward as shit in them. I don't like it.
Me too. I feel awkward. It's not the whole, like, sex factor or whatever. It's just like, why am I wasting money on this
chick? I usually sit at a table, get a beer, and then they come to you.
Yeah.
If they think you're, like...
If they think you have money or something.
Or just at least like mildly attractive, like, you know, but like the older overweight guys they probably go to, like, this guy's here to spend money. He hasn't gotten laid in 4 years.
Right.
But a lot of times, like, if me and you went there, bitches would come sit at the table because we look cool and they'd want to hang out with us.
Oh, these guys have tattoos.
But but at the end of the day, they're still going to want us to buy them drinks and pay fucking $20 for fucking one song or
and
whatever.
And I feel like most of the time.
It's like, strippers love me. No, they don't.
No.
It's like, dude, that waitress called me hun. I'm going to go ask her for a number.
That's like saying, like, Donald Trump follows you on Facebook or some shit.
Right.
But anyways, what the fuck was I saying? So, yeah, I just feel...
Strippers are bad, okay?
Strippers are bad. I mean, I have nothing against sex workers, but, like, you date a stripper, you have a full-time job, and they come home at 2 or 3 in the morning. I fucking hate men. Well, maybe you shouldn't be grinding
on
one.
Take off your clothes for them.
Yeah, go find a real job or something.
There's a thing that I call the stripper eye. Like, some bitches have it. It's like this... It's basically, like, no offense to anybody who has, like, bipolar or mental health issues. I have mental health issues, too. But, like, I've seen women who are just fucking nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, that bitch has the stripper eye. And, like, every single time I've ever said this to a friend of mine who they're dating or seeing or whatever, dude, what do you think of my girl? I'm like, she's got the stripper eye. I'm like, what? They're like, what does that mean? Ask her if she's ever danced. And fucking 10 out of 10 times, every single time I was right that they were a fucking stripper. They're like, just like my fucking song Prozac Princess that I got my band Evolve, dude. Like, you know the lyrics of that song, you know? And it's like, it's just fucking, they're...
And I'll give them the credit.
Not all crazy people are strippers, but all strippers are crazy.
I'll give them some credit to some degree. Like, yeah, you're... I mean, that's your choice. You're taking your clothes off to make a living. But at the same time, it's like, you're going to come home and bitch about how men are toxic and blah, 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 blah. Like, dude, you work at a strip club. What do you think you're getting yourself into, man? Like,
right.
I have nothing against
that. What did you fucking expect?
I have nothing against sex workers.
Flowers and fucking Valentine's Day cards?
No, dude. Half the dudes that are there are scumbags. They want to get fucking laid. They're just going to waste their money. This is why I never wasted my money. I have never paid a woman to ever take her clothes off at a strip club. Because I dated a stripper. And it was just like, you know what? I'm over it. I don't care. I don't care. Literally. If I want to go out and fuck somebody... Cool, I'm gonna go meet somebody.
Right.
Right? But I don't know. I feel like strip clubs are a waste of money. I'd rather just go spend my money on tattoos or snakes or something cool that's worthwhile instead
of. Pop figures.
Yeah, whatever, dude.
Beer.
Yeah, beer. Yeah, cool. I can go on Pornhub and just jerk off, dude.
For reals. Straight up, man.
X videos.
Dude, I've heard that xvideos.com is the go-to. And the reason I'm saying is...
Because they got full videos.
Well, what I'm saying is because they're 100... They're like the only one that's 100% guaranteed to not have anyone under 18 in their videos.
Which is cool, because I've heard some fucked up shit about Pornhub. Like, they have, like... I don't know how it gets on there, but they'll have someone that's underage or even, like, sex trafficking shit, which is fucked up.
Yeah, because I heard from another... There's this podcast. I don't want to... It's LPOTL. You figure out who it is, but they're super famous, and I don't want anyone to come after me. The one guy said X videos. He's like, if you're gonna do it, if you're gonna watch porn, do X videos because they're like the only one that's guaranteed to not have kids on it and shit.
So
I don't know how true that statement is.
As bad as it sounds, yes, I watch porn. I have to jerk off.
Do you really?
I'm a man. Everyone watches porn.
I'm pretty sure.
But
they
anyways,
do.
X videos. I'll go to X videos because it's better than Pornhub, in my opinion, because you get the whole video. You don't get like the whole 5 minute preview clip. No, fuck that. I want to watch the whole video.
Right.
Front to nut.
Front to nut, baby. I used to do RedTube, but I would get viruses on my phone and shit.
See, that's exactly.
And I haven't got. Any,
there's a bunch of porn sites out there that'll fuck your shit up.
Isn't there, there's RedTube, Pornhub, Xvideos.
YouPorn.
I heard of that one. Isn't there like a, there's one like named after an animal. It's not like gopher. It's like.
Bro, there was one.
Hamster XXX
yep,
or something.
Yep,
I heard of that one too.
There was one when I was a kid.
My nephew told me about that
one. In grade
school,
it's called like WashingtonDC.com.
Oh, wow.
It was a fucking porn site though.
That's funny.
It was like when I was in the fourth grade.
That's what I would do is like name it some wild shit.
Yeah. Oh, this guy.
But nothing that like kids would look up, you know. I mean, I wouldn't be like SpongeBob is rad.com.
I'll tell you right now, I don't have a password on my phone, I still clear my history out every time.
Incognito, bro.
Oh, you're smart.
Do you know what that is?
You're a smart guy.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, so where you can't like go back and like see your history, right?
Yeah.
How the fuck do you put that on your phone?
Oh, I'll show your ass.
Not like I have nothing to hide. Like, I'm fucking single, dude.
Still, dude.
Yeah, I mean, if
your buddy at the bar is like, hey, dude, let me see your phone.
Yeah.
And then they type in fucking B to look at the basketball score, and it's like,
big bro,
big booty black girl, you know? And you're like, dude, what kind of shit do you want? Like, give me my phone back, man.
So there was one time, I picked my buddy Scott up one time, and I had my Bluetooth on. I forgot to clear out my history, and the last thing I listened to or watched was porn. So on my screen on my car, it said, like, chick getting railed from behind, like, on there. And
oh,
I,
wow.
And I didn't notice it at first. And all of a sudden, I hear...
You're like, did I just get off stage?
I fucking wish. But anyways, my face turned bright red, and he's like, fucking lit, bro. Like, he didn't even judge me or nothing.
Right.
He's like, you were watching porn earlier? I'm like, yeah.
Dude, it's
healthy. It's funny, though, that, like, it just... hooked up to the Bluetooth in my car. Literally,
oh.
You were hearing the porn play through my car speakers, dude.
That's funny.
It's fucking hilarious. So, like, yeah.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, so...
I love it.
Man, what a sexual topics we've been talking about. Strippers, porn,
Let's take a quick commercial break. I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. I'm going to slap on a commercial. To my sponsors, I really... apologize first of all for not putting your commercials. Let's be honest, my sponsors probably don't even listen to my podcast, but I still appreciate them for offering their customers discount codes to my listeners, and I haven't been putting in commercials lately because most of the time I'm like super hammered and I'm with a friend and I'm like, fuck that, I'm not doing it. But now I'm sober and I'm hanging out with the Dizzle. And do you hear music playing?
I hear bass.
Me too. I wonder, let's go look. I want to smoke a cigarette anyway, but I apologize to my sponsors, and I'm going to give you commercial break right now, guys. I'm going to go smoke a cigarette and see who the fuck is listening to music. Probably, possibly, maybe in my driveway. It might be Bob.
In a world full of lame mystery box companies, one has stood out from the rest to defy the odds and do something truly amazing and unique. We are Zompire, peddlers of monsters, madmen in the macabre, your monthly horror and true crime mystery box company. Check us out on Facebook /Zompire Army. Mention House of 1000 Discourses at checkout. Receive 10% off. Join the Zompire Army or die.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the House of 1000 Discourses, the Passion Project podcast that provides propaganda. That was a commercial for my sponsor, Zompire. As the man, Vladimir DeWinter, stated, a mystery horror subscription box company who are the shit. Mention House of 1000 Discourses, and you'll get a motherfucking discount. Speaking of them, also, Vladimir DeWinter was a guest on House of 1000 Discourses. Go check that out. The title is American Vladass. Now, I'm going to show Matt Huff the coolest thing I've ever gotten from Zompire.
What is it?
What do you think this is?
Looks like some shitty ground-up weed.
Check it out. That's exactly what it is. It is movie prop marijuana from the movie Alpha Dog. The scene where Justin Timberlake is holding a big bag of weed, it's obviously fake weed. That is screen-used prop marijuana from the movie Alpha Dog.
So what is it? Excuse me.
Yeah, hey.
What really is it?
I don't know.
Like, is it cool? I know. Is it cool if I open it?
Yeah, open it. Smell it.
It definitely does not smell like marijuana. It smells like something you cook with, almost. It looks like some shitty fucking, I got that Reggie, bro.
Like oregano or catnip or something.
I mean, it looks like weed for sure, but it looks
Here's
like...
the second coolest thing I've ever gotten from Zompire. It is a bag of dirt from Johnny Cash's grave.
This is legit?
Yeah, it's legit.
Nah, I just had to ask, bro.
No, you know what? Fuck you.
Damn, he died in 03?
I guess.
Holy fuck. 32 That's... from 03? Damn.
Old ass man.
I didn't even know that. That motherfucker stole a Nine Inch Nails song.
Well,
no, Trent Reznor was like, hey.
He says it's not a Nine Inch Nails song anymore. It's a Johnny Cash song.
I know,
though.
but they wrote it. But
I know. He covered it, and then people like it more, so for him.
He put his little twang and twist on
it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's his, I believe this is his mugshot from one time when he got arrested. Unless it's just a promo pic he took. But I think, because I don't think I know he's never been to prison, but I'm sure he's been arrested at least.
Right.
This could just be a promo pic. This could even be Photoshop, the Band-Aid and everything. That could just be a picture that they made. But anyway, check out Zompire. All right, so something crazy happened today.
Dude, you and your family have like a history of people like just crashing their car into shit.
Yes. So, I grew up in a house on this road in the country, and it's a very dangerous spot because it's a curve, and the house is right in the middle of these two curbs. So, there was one tree that was hit, everyone in the car died. There was a second tree that was hit, everyone in the car died. There was a head-on collision in front of the house, everyone in both cars died. The boy who lived in the house before us was hit by a car, he's dead. And I'm 100% sure his ghost haunts that house. And I can talk about that in a minute if you remind me.
Yeah, for sure.
There was a situation where we had a tree stump in the front yard. A car came off the road, hit the tree stump, spit him in the air sideways, flew across my horseshoe-shaped driveway, landed on top of my mom's Oldsmobile sideways, bounced off of it, flew over our cute little front yard bear fountain, landed in the front yard. My dad comes outside. This dude is in a T-top convertible, and he's standing on his driver's seat with a beer in his hand.
Holy fuck.
And he says, "Deer, deer." That's all he would say.
So you were telling me that if that car wasn't there, it would go into your family.
If my mom's car was not parked there in the driveway, that car would have landed on its side in my driveway and slid through the bay window, which is about waist high, where my mom was laying down on the couch at the time watching TV. And the car would have went through our living room. My mom would have been crushed underneath it.
So let's talk about like what happened today in that particular spot.
Yeah, well, there's one more situation with that house. There was a night, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm probably about 14 years old. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm watching fucking Headbangers Ball on MTV2 when Jamie Jossa, the singer, Hatebreed, hosted it. And I hear pounding on the bay window. I'm like, what the fuck? And he's screaming, help me, help me.
Yeah.
And I look out the window and there's this Mexican dude covered in blood. Fuck. And I'm like, are you for real? And he takes a step back. He's like, look at me, dog. I'm like, okay, I've seen scary movies that start like this.
Right.
Going to wake up my dad, the baddest motherfucker on the planet. My dad comes outside, calls 911 and shit, but then he goes outside to make sure this guy ain't just fucking around with some random house in the country like the movie The Strangers.
Yeah, no shit.
And this dude's just cut open bad. And he's like, all my friends are dead. All my friends are dead. He kept saying that. He says that there was a tree down the road. His friend was driving. They crashed into this tree. They all died. He crawled out, crawled to our house, and then the first house he saw, he screamed and begged for help.
Yeah.
So, ambulance gets there, police get there, and all this shit. The dude was clearly shit hammered. But it's like, is he shit hammered or is his brain rattled? Is he in shock? Are all his friends really dead?
Yeah.
Did he come to in a car full of homies that are dead? But he prayed in my driveway, thank you, God, for this moment. And he was, like, praying and crying. Well, right when I don't remember if it was an EMT or a cop, whatever, but the first person who showed up, I'm like, yo, this guy's saying there's a car full of dead bodies. They go check it out, they come back, this dude's in cuffs. They're like, there ain't nobody in that fucking car. He was trying to get out of a DUI.
Yeah, yeah.
But the next day, his sister came to our house and was like, thank you so much for like calling 911 for my brother. You know, he potentially saved his life, whatever. But there was bloody handprints from the bay window all the way down the siding to the front door because he's like pounding because the bay window and then you got the front door and he didn't know which one to knock on. So he's just beating on the house covered in fucking blood, you know?
And he tried to make it sound like his friends died and shit.
Yeah. But Travis Crawford is the kid's name. He was my brother's friend's older brother, and he was walking home, and he got hit by a drunk driver, And that person kept going. They left his dead body in the ditch. Man. And the neighbor little girl, the next morning, when she got out to fucking wait for the school bus to pick
body
her up,
was still fucking
saw
there.
His fucking feet what sticking out of the bushes.
What the fuck, dude?
She saw feet sticking out. She's like, what the fuck? Walked up to it, smashed dead body.
Dude.
And they fucking had to bury him in a baseball cap because half of his skull was caved in. And what's fucking crazy, the guy... The town that I grew up in is a very tiny town. Everybody knows everyone. Yeah. And the guy who confessed years later, I'm talking almost 10 years later, the guy finally came forward and was like, I hit that kid on Newburgh Road. Everybody that knows that guy does not drive. That man does not drive. So his wife, what everyone thinks is his wife is the one who hit him. And then he ended up taking the fall for it. But it was like 10 years later.
That's a long time, dude.
This happened in 1996. And probably around 2006 or so is when the guy came forward.
So, like, did he just say fucking, like, went, did the time for it or what? He's
in prison? He did a year in jail. He did a November to November. That was it.
Just for fucking killing
somebody.
For
killing a fucking teenage boy.
That's fucked up. And for a little girl to see that.
Yeah, the next morning.
That would traumatize you for life, dude.
Yeah, she's never going to forget that day.
Fuck no. That's fucked up.
I don't know how old she was.
People get off the hook for stupid shit like that all the time, dude.
Yeah, but if he had a bag of weed on him, he'd be in jail for the rest of his fucking life.
Fucking retarded.
You know what I mean?
I said the R word. God damn it.
I don't think anyone's going to care.
Yeah.
But, so today, me and Huff went to his dad's house to let the dog out. Amazing dog, by the way. And then we stop at the gas station to pick up some beers. And my mom texted me like 7 pictures of the smashed car. And I noticed right away, I'm like, that's my brother's yard, the house I grew up in. You know, my brother lives there now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, another accident, really? And she's like, yep, 2 teenage girls, the car rolled 2 times. Luckily, they were alive. But they fucking hit the ditch. The ditch spit them up into the air. They flew over half of the horseshoe-shaped driveway, rolled 2 times. My brother's friend seen it, the whole thing, because he was standing in front of the garage door when it happened. And these 2 apparently very attractive Mexican women get out of the car dressed like the Kardashians. Like, they were on their way somewhere cool.
Right.
And their whole fucking Saturday night got fucked up. But they weren't drunk or anything. They had to have been texting or something. But they were very young girls.
Did not go to jail.
That we know of yet.
Yeah.
Because the first thing they're going to do is take you to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then when charges get pressed, then you get in the cuffs and then you get taken to jail. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I mean, there's probably been people who've been in comas
for months.
And then when they get out of the coma, hey, by the way, motherfucker, you're charged with vehicular homicide. You know what I mean?
I want to tell you a story, but I don't know if I can even like say it on here, dude.
Why?
It's about, you know Ken Berg, right?
Let's not name drop. So we'll just say our friend.
Fuck, I already said his name, though.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. But notice how I didn't say what town I grew up in.
Yeah.
And I only mentioned the road because every town is an Elm Street. So I only mentioned Newburgh.
I don't really think he would care. It's him. But anyways, so this is like back in the day when Take 20 was open. I stopped by the bar and he was fucked up. Him and Kroger hanging out. This dude's fucked up. He's slurring. He's saying stupid shit. And he had a really...
Is this the night he crashed his car?
Yeah.
That's the night that I was hitting everybody with the staple gun, wasn't it?
Yep, you hit me with a staple gun?
Yeah.
Motherfucker. I had to go to work that night.
But, yeah, it was that night. And then I was fucking stapling I stapled flyers to my next show on each cheek. And I'm walking around the bar bleeding with flyers stapled to my face.
Fucking masochist.
Caitlin Maiden, she fucking got... Damn, I name dropped.
Fuck, it's so hard. I know.
I know. Yeah. But she got me a bunch of times. I'm like, okay, I'm fucking done now. Mm. What's funny is your bass player of Reckless Redemption at the time, like, you know, weeks later, whatever, we're at another show at the same bar, Take 20. And he said, did I tell you the story?
No.
He said, like, he was fucking hammered. And I'm basically sober at that time because I just got there. And he's like, remember when you were stapling everybody? He's like, if you'd have done it to me, I'd have punched you in the face. Yeah. He said it like 10 times, like in a row.
I'm like, dude, you're fucking drunk. Shut up.
I'm like, I get it, dude. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not afraid of you, you know? Like, knock it off. Like, shut up, dude.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, you already said it. I heard you the first fucking time. But anyway, so our homeboy.
Yeah.
Ken Berg.
Yeah. He won't care. He won't care.
He's not going to hear it.
So,
like, by the way, all my friends that don't listen to my podcast,
fuck you.
You all want to come over here and be on it, but then...
You don't want to do it.
Yeah, and then when I ask you your favorite episode, I haven't gotten around to listen to it. Bitch, I've been out for over 2 years
How
now.
How many episodes you got now?
A lot. Enough to where they could fucking listen to one.
I just want
to
say, I fucking listen to all of them.
I know you have, and you're on fucking...
Half of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, 40, 50% of them.
Some ego shit.
Maybe that's why I don't have any local listeners.
Sorry.
They're like, Huff Daddy. I mean, fuck that asshole. Guy. But yeah, all you little fucking scallywags and sheepshaggers that claim to be my friend, and you want to come over here to be on my podcast, fuck you. Don't come here for clout. I'm not going to talk about your band, because I don't give a fuck about your fucking band. And I just, I, you know, I'm not trying to be a fucking asshole, but I thought we were friends. I want to be your friend. Like, when I see your band, that's cool. I don't go out of my way to see anyone's band. No. If my band's on the bill, cool. Like, I got a family life. I stay at home.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't go to shows. It's not my thing. But if I'm playing a show, fuck yeah, let's hang out. And I thought we were buddies, but a lot of you people want to come over here just to get interviewed for your fucking band.
And
most of my listeners are not local, and they don't know who you are, and they don't care that you sing or play drums in this band. They never heard of you, so they don't care.
That's how we...
Come over here as my friend. I think they would have a much better... They
time or experience.
Listening to the podcast of me talking to my friend and not interviewing the singer of fucking DickSqueezer.com. Yeah. You know?
I feel like that's how we established our friendship, because we'd play shows together and shit, like when you were like doing Joey Columbine or whatever.
Yeah.
And then like one day, I don't even remember how I even like came to your house in the first place. Like, I think you invited
me. I remember exactly.
Do
it was
you?
The first time we ever hung out outside of a bar.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
It was take 20.
Yeah.
And you were with this blonde girl.
Yeah.
And you gave me a ride home.
Okay.
And because I'm like, dude, I live fucking literally right down the street. Too far to walk, but super close to drive. And you're like, I'll fucking take you home. And then I'm like, well, fucking let's have some beers too.
Yeah.
And then we went down to it was the Newberg house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We went down to the garage. We drank a couple of beers. And that was our first time ever hanging out outside of a show. And then I remember you tagged me on Facebook that night, and you're like, dude, I just hung out with Darren Duncan for the first time. He's actually a really rad dude.
Yeah.
And, like, we just been best friends ever since,
dude.
Man.
And, like, I wouldn't say it's, like, weird. It's just, I feel like I haven't even known you that long, but, like, we're, like, close as fuck, dude.
Dude,
like,
no. You're my crazy, brother, man. Crazy. Like, this no, you're my brother for sure.
Yeah, dude, I would kill somebody for this guy.
Absolutely. Benny.
What the fuck was I getting to? What the fuck
were we were talking about our friend crashing the car.
Oh, yeah, Ken Berg. Okay.
We'll just say his name again.
Completely off topic. I don't care. He doesn't give a shit.
He don't listen anyway. So, fuck you too, Ken. No, I do want him on the podcast, but
dude,
anyway.
Dude, he would tell you some crazy shit.
I know. He'd be an amazing guest.
He's got crazy stories. So
he's just
got
to get his ass over here.
Yeah, I mean, what? I don't even know where the fuck he lives now. But anyways.
We'll figure it out.
So, I'm at Take 20. I have to work that night. I was a regular at Take 20. I'd go over there just to get food, dude. Like, their wings are fire. They're
hell yeah.
Fire.
Oh, we should talk about your challenge, too, and after this, though.
For sure.
Instead of getting off topic and shit.
So, anyways, I'm there. Craig, my guitar player, is there. OG member of Reckless. One of my best friends. Ken Berg is hammered. And it's like 8. Not even 8 o'clock. I work third shift. I have to go into work at, like, around 10 o'clock back then. So
did you play that night?
No.
Okay.
No. I just came over there to hang out and eat some food before I went to work. And Ken Berg is fucking just wasted, dude. Just like slurring, yelling absurd shit. I'm like, dude, are you good to drive? And like Craig even said, he's like, no. I'm good to drive. So I'm at work. I go to work on Rockford Scanner. Ken had a nice car, Chrysler 300C. Chrysler 300C drives off a bridge, front end smashed. The fuck in.
And he's lucky he didn't die.
The woman
he or was, kill someone else.
The
shit.
Woman he's dating at the time messaged me, and he's like, she was like, hey, did you hear about Ken? I'm like, no. I'm like, please tell me that wasn't his car. And she was like, it is.
What do you mean that wasn't his car? Like, you seen this accident or heard about it or what?
It was. I saw it in Rockford Scanner.
Oh.
White Chrysler 300C drives off bridge and like crashes like the front end like.
What flew. Fucking bridge?
I can't. Fucking remember, dude. I was.
How do you drive off of a bridge? They have guardrails.
I don't fucking know. It's Ken Berg. He flew like Superman.
I was gonna say, did he have like the fucking jump thing, like the Batmobile?
I could be like wrong on like how I'm describing it. If you would have him over here for like one episode, he would probably describe it to you in the best
way.
Yeah,
Ken, what the fuck?
In the best way possible. So, anyways, this dude drives off the bridge or whatever. I see it on Rockford Scanner while I'm at work on break. The woman he's dating at the time messages me, and he's like, she's like, hey, did you hear about Ken? I'm like, please tell me that wasn't him. Yeah, it was him. And from what Dustin and Craig told me, they go to the crime scene. He's in the hospital. They look, because their band equipment was in his car for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, damn.
It just was. Their equipment, unscathed. Unfucking scathed. Pool of blood in the back seat, in the front. Pool. Like, I'm talking about, like...
Puddle.
Puddle, bro, of blood. And, dude, Craig told me, he's like, the minute I opened that car door, I fucking cried, dude.
How did... what do you mean? Were they following him or something?
I don't know.
Or did they go to the scene after the fact?
They probably went to the scene after the fact. There was a pool of blood. He was in the hospital. Dude didn't get charged at all because the cops questioned him while he was unconscious, dude.
What?
Yeah.
How dude. Do you question someone that's unconscious?
If they're like out of it, he got fucked up. They said if he wasn't drunk, he would have died. His body was that relaxed. Just the flow of blood and how it worked. I'm not a fucking scientist.
Right.
I'm sure someone on here that's listening could probably explain it better than me.
Well, thank God, because Ken is a fucking amazing. I love him. He's a cool guy.
He's a good dude. And
me and him argue a lot, but it's only about horror movies.
Yeah.
Like, who would win in a fight type shit. And, like, we call each other motherfuckers and sons of bitches, but we know we're just playing.
They said if he wasn't drunk and if his body wasn't relaxed, he would have died, dude.
Damn.
And I guess the cops, because, like, you're in the hospital, you're handcuffed or whatever. Cops question.
Well, there you go, kids. Don't drink and drive, but if you're going to crash your car, might as well drink first. Just kidding. You did not hear that here.
But apparently, if you're unconscious or unaware of, like, where you're at and the cops ask you questions, that's illegal, dude. Because you're not fully aware.
I would think it would be.
You're not fully aware. Because
you could be in a dream state.
So, like, they dropped the whole fucking case, dude. He got off.
No DUI, nothing.
Nothing. Not a fucking single thing.
That is absurd.
Very absurd.
That is
this motherfucker told me, I'm done drinking. A week later, Miller Lite in the hand.
Right. I remember doing the staple gun thing, and I'm walking around take 20 with a staple gun that night, getting people in the legs and the forearms, fucking around with people, and then maybe not the next day. It couldn't have been the next day. But shortly after that, he did message me and was like, dude, I crashed my car, and I'm like, oh, damn, that sucks. I didn't know it was that serious.
It was very serious, dude.
Because I think we might have had plans or something. And he's like, hey, sorry I fucking blew you off or whatever. I crashed my car. I'm like, oh, fuck.
I don't know how he survived.
I never knew it was that bad.
Dude, his whole front
There's hand. A video on YouTube, by the way, of that night.
Really?
Him walking around with the phone, and I'm fucking stapling dollar bills to my forearm.
And he's fucked
and
up.
And I'm fucking stapling shit to my... Because I remember he was lying. He's like, it's so bad! It's so bad! Yeah. Like, fucking 6 times he said dude, it. But I was like, I didn't realize he was that fucking
hammered. I saw pictures, multiple pictures of his car and the blood and shit. His whole... I don't know how the fuck he survived, dude. His whole front end was, like, smashed to where, like, his knees would lay while you're, like, sitting just, like, up to here. They said if he wasn't relaxed and drunk, he would have died. Like,
I've heard of shit like that when people fall asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
They're like, you're lucky that you were asleep because at that you would have tensed up and braced yourself. A lot of times they break arms and wrists because they grab the steering wheel and they're tensed up. And then when the steering wheel jerks, their fucking wrists get broken.
Yep.
My brother was a race car driver and he broke his wrist a couple of times doing that.
I'm sure.
So when you're relaxed, you just take it.
I'm sure he's wrote songs about it. I know he's got one song. Like
815 Anonymous, by the way. Look them up. It's one guy. Craig plays guitar in it.
Yep.
But Ken Berg is the singer of 815 Anonymous. And when he first started, I'm like, I don't like it, but I want to be supportive. I'm like, yeah, it's cool.
His new shit.
I'm like, wow. I'm like, dude, you've come so far.
His new shit is really great. I know one of his older songs, not on the new stuff, I think it's called Dream.
He's another guy, by the way, that's like, dude, we got to get Joey Columbine on the track. And here we are, 4 years later, not on an 815 Anonymous song, by the way.
You're not even on a regular song, and I feel bad about that.
You should. And with that, we're going to go to commercial break.
1428 Street, the only place you can get a hand-painted custom knife for just $40. But we're not just knives. We do canvases, machetes, hatchets, anything you want, we got you. Just message us on Facebook. Tell them Darren sent you for a sick 25% off discount. 1428 Street, where creepy creations live.
Now it's time for
of the week. So now is that segment of the podcast where we do what the fuck of the week. So this is what happened to me. Like, we should have saved the car crash thing for this, but we didn't think about it till after the fact. Right. Now, you and I both know, and several other people know, that the house I lived in before this one was crazy haunted.
Haunted as fuck.
Yes. You've witnessed some things.
Yes, sir. The last, it was like, I think it was a week or two before you moved out, some shit happened. I want to say it was like, it was in your kitchen for sure.
Something. Where the whole dog thing, the thing full of dog food slid across the kitchen floor.
Yeah, dude. I was like, what the fuck, man? Not even making this up. I'm not.
So.
Little buzz, but I'm not making this shit up.
So this is what happened to me this week. A few days ago, I saw a white mist tornado. It was white and it was like a tiny tornado. It was about knee high. And I saw a white tornado in my kitchen. Stone cold sober. And I saw this, and I walked up to it like, what the fuck is that? And as soon as I walked up to it, instantly my body was covered in goosebumps and I was charged. And that was it.
Fucking
but goodness. Today, I didn't say this right away, but when we came home from our dude date,
yeah,
you were in the bathroom.
Taking a shit.
Leaving a shit. And a little boy ran down my hallway.
What the fuck?
It was silent. But I saw a full body apparition while you were in the bathroom shitting today. And I thought it was my son. I could have swore it was my son.
Could have been.
It was absolutely silent.
Where was he at the time?
In his bedroom. I'm getting to that. This thing ran down the hallway. It ran right past me. And because I was right in front of the liquor cabinet.
Yeah, yeah.
And this thing ran whoof, right past me. I was going to turn to my son and be like, dude, be quiet because your mom's sleeping. But, like, I didn't hear anything. I'm just like, don't be running in the house is what I was going to say. But I turn around, nothing was there.
What the fuck?
And this happened today.
Damn.
And so that's my what the fuck moment of the week. And I told you a few weeks ago you were here. I come downstairs to do something. And then when I went upstairs, I'm like, dude, I just saw a lady in a sundress in my fucking laundry room.
Yeah, you told me about that.
A full body apparition, not see-through, nothing.
In your laundry
full body,
room.
Yeah, and it was a lady in a sundress with sunflowers on it, and she had a big old sun hat on with a big old broad circular bill like Kung Lao, you know what I mean, from Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
But it was a pretty sun hat, and it had sunflowers on it. And this lady walked right past. Now, the difference between this house being haunted and my old house was pure fucking evil.
Yeah.
I've been in my ear. We seen, the first night we moved in, me and Dora saw at the top of the stairs a guy, black shadow figure, trench coat, top hat, seen him. And I've had knocks on doors, walls, to the point to where I grabbed a gun because I thought someone was coming into my back door.
Breaking into your house,
yeah. And I sat up till the one time I heard three knocks on my back door. This is at my old house.
I remember you telling me that, yeah.
I'm watching a Ted Bundy documentary of all fucking things.
So fucked up enough.
Super freaked out.
Yeah.
And I got my fucking 38 stub nose special, and I sat it beside me. It was right around the time the Black Lives Matter thing was popping off in our city, too.
Yep.
And they were, like, purging everywhere, and, like, they were fucking rioting and going nuts in Rockford.
Yeah.
And they were talking about coming to Cherry Valley and stuff.
Yep.
And I'm just like, fuck, someone's trying to break into my house, you know?
Right.
It was right after the George Floyd incident.
Yep, yep, yep.
And, yeah, I grabbed my fucking gun. I turned off all the lights in the house because if you open your blinds when your light's on, all you're going to see is reflections of your house. So turned off all the lights, looked out. Nobody was there. I sat up until 6 o'clock in the morning till when Dora got up with my gun watching TV. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, my vacuum cleaner got thrown down the stairs.
What the fuck?
Now, you know, I got pit bulls and they don't like cats. So at the old house, I used to keep the cats upstairs and the dogs downstairs. I had a baby gate at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah.
This fucking vacuum was in Luna's bedroom. There's no way the cat knocked this vacuum cleaner out of my daughter's bedroom onto the staircase and then down the staircase. And even if that were to happen, first of all, they would have to slide the vacuum cleaner from Luna's bedroom to the top of the steps. And then if it even were to fall, it would have slid. This thing got thrown over the balcony, onto the stairs, bounced over the fucking gate.
That's
and
a
into
lot
the kitchen.
Of fucking work, man.
Yeah.
Just for a dog.
Yeah. And I've taken videos. I've shown you videos of, like,
yeah, no,
toys going off.
I
lights flickering.
I'm not here, like, disagreeing with you at all, because I personally seen shit at that old house.
Yeah.
Like, the last, the last week or two before you moved out, we were in the kitchen, the dog food, it was, like, in one of those big plastic containers or whatever. It fucking slid across the floor, dude. And we both looked at each other like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, it just fucking slid. And it's like, dude, it's 36 pounds of dog food in this big, giant, plastic, black bin. Like, it didn't do it by it fucking self.
No, dude. I legit sat there with you and like, what the fuck?
Right. The last paranormal thing to happen in that house is the day I moved out. Chris Johnson was there. And we had one more thing to grab. And it was a big old wooden fucking dining room table. Dora's grandma gave it to us. And we're like, we don't want it, but should we really leave it behind? And me and Chris are looking at it like, all right, how are we going to pick it up? How are we going to move it through the dining room and out the back door and all this shit? We're like planning. And his back was to the kitchen. And the whole kitchen blacked out because this giant black figure swooped by the threshold and covered up the whole kitchen in black. And Chris's eyebrows went up and his eyes got wide. And I'm like, dude, I just saw a black figure in the kitchen. And he's like, I felt it. I didn't see it, but I felt it. And I'm like, fuck it, whatever. What do you want to do with this table? And he's like, if I were you, I'd leave it. I'm like, let's go. And we just fucking left it. Yeah. Fuck. We moved out and just left that dining room table. You never told me
that story, dude. Fuck. That's wild, dude.
It wasn't like a super crazy fancy dining room table. It was just old and wooden. It was covered in paint for my kids and shit like that. So
let's talk about, I got something to talk about, the divot box that I opened.
Yeah.
All right, let me take this shot really quick. Sorry for you followers, House of Thousand Discourses. Here's to you.
Cheers.
For your ass.
So about a year ago, I bought this divot box off eBay. I think it's fake. I paid $100 for it, and,
Oh, I thought you paid more than that. $100?
It was just $100.
For amazing one-of-a-kind piece of art labeled as a Dybbuk box.
It was like $80, $20.
For those that don't know what a Dybbuk box is, try to explain that real quick.
Okay, so, as quick as possible, it's a Jewish folklore. You trap this thing, like a demon, a Dybbuk, inside box. It has all these personal items into it that are attached to it. You trap it inside the box, and it stays in there. Now, if someone opens it, it frees the demon or spirit or whatever. It fucks your shit up. Best way I can describe it. Look it up. There's Google and the internet for a reason. So anyways, I go on eBay. I'm bored as fuck one day. This is like a year ago. I buy one. It's coffin shaped. It's about, what would you say?
Eight inches tall.
It's got like little needles sticking out of it, like Hellraiser style.
Nails.
Yeah. Nails,
covered in wax.
It's got like these little plastic red gems, and there's a gold chain like wrapped around it.
Yeah.
If you have my Facebook.
And it's a hinged coffin shaped box, right?
Yeah. So I got bored. I'm going through a lot of stupid, depressive shit in my life. Me and my fiance just ended our relationship.
No, she ended it.
Whatever.
That fucking see you next Tuesday.
So anyways,
love you, Andrea, even though you don't listen to my podcast either. Thanks for coming to my son's birthday party all the way from Mexico.
Bitter as fuck. She did come, but
she came.
Yeah, anyways, I have the box and I'm joking like, hey, I'm gonna open it. She's like, open it, fuck it, who cares?
I'm moving out in a month anyway. If there's ghosts here, who cares?
Basically. So right. I've had this thing for, mind you, a whole fucking year. I'm surprised she even let me buy it off eBay. So I'm sitting there like,
well, you don't gotta worry about that no more, about permission.
Fuck no. God damn it, Darren.
So anyway, open this box. How'd you open it? Did you cut the wax?
I'm getting to that part because you're interrupting me.
So you pulled out your foreskin, because your foreskin has a razor blade underneath.
Sure. No, I pull out a...
It's metal, baby.
I go to the kitchen. I pull out a knife. That's just a little kitchen knife, whatever.
Right.
It was kind of a bitch to, like, open it up, dude.
Your average white American male uses kitchen knives to chop steaks and pork chops. You use them to cut open Dybbuk boxes. That's the next Matt Huffasoul metal joke.
You know what? I don't... Whatever. Fuck Home Depot. Fuck Menards. I used a fucking kitchen knife to open a Dybbuk box. Yes. So I'm cutting it open. All the wax around the seal is off. Still wouldn't open. The chain's open. I had to, like, yank the fucking chain off. Like,
You broke it?
I had to break it off, dude. I had to break it off. I break it off. I open it. Everyone says when you open a divot box, there's, like, this smell. I didn't smell shit. What freaked me out was, like, the first thing I opened the box. Freaking me out. There's this old picture of this lady. Had to be in, like, her...
It looked like 30s Germany shit, right? Yeah,
dude, for real. It was, like... It looked like the time era was, like, World War One, World War Two. There was this lady. She had, like, a coat on. There was, like, fur, like, wrapped around her neck. And she didn't look like she was hostile. She looked like she was in a friendly mood, almost. There was, like, a cheap, fakey ring in there, which kind of, like, threw me off a little bit. I'm like, yeah, this is fake. Then there was, like, some Blair Witch shit in there. Like, a twig fucking figure is, like... constructed by
glue gun and some twine.
Almost, yeah, pretty much. The only thing that freaked me out about that was the picture, because it looked old as fuck. I looked on the back of it; there wasn't a date or nothing. It was black and white.
What was the texture of the piece of paper? Was it super thick? Did it feel like it was recently printed at Walgreens or anything? It was
very thin, very fucking thin.
Okay.
And it kind of freaked me out, but nothing really happened. Nothing happened. That was the only shock I had from opening it, was looking at the picture of this lady. The ring that came with it was, like, fake, like, dingy as fuck. And the figurine that was, like, looked like some Blair Witch shit. But, fucking Dre and Taylor were freaking out the whole time. They were like, don't open that, it's negative energy. I'm like, you're sitting here telling me to open it. So I opened it, and you guys are freaking out the whole time, like, saying these fucking... enchantment spells or whatever.
Were they, like, for protection spells or what?
Yeah, dude. They were super into it. I'm just sitting here like...
Really?
Open the box, nothing happened. Dude, I slept in the house 2 days straight. Nobody there. Nothing happened to me. So what I'm waiting for is, like, when they move out, I...
You think that they're the protection? I think it's bullshit.
Probably not. I think it's bullshit.
I think you bought a badass piece of art.
Art, yeah.
And it's called the Dybbuk box. Dude, that's just what the artist called it. There's no fucking Jewish spirit.
As bad
in there.
As it sounds, dude, I'm single. I'm about to, like, start Zach bagging shit right now. I'm gonna buy all this occult shit off the internet, open it up. Who gives a fuck?
Do what makes you happy.
I mean, I'm here to, like, disprove, like, the evil shit.
Right.
But at the same time, if something does happen, yeah, cool. Nothing's happened to me, dude. I slept normally, like I normally do.
Now, you've had people spend the night at your house, though, that swear the place is haunted. Okay, didn't your ex-girlfriend claim that it's haunted? She thinks there's a guy and a girl or something that stands in the corner or something?
Yes, so I'll go to the most credible source I know, my buddy Craig.
The guitar player of your band, Reckless Redemption.
Known this dude over 10 years.
Right.
He slept over at my house. He slept on the futon. And ever since I lived at Beacon Hills, I felt like there's, like, this female presence that's, like, followed me. I don't know if it's, like, something that I'm possessed by or whatever, but he woke me up, like, 4 or 5 in the morning, like a little kid. You know, you have the little kid.
Dad.
Yeah, pretty
but
much.
But he's like, huff.
He pretty much, dude, exactly. He's like, huff, huff. He's like, wake up. I'm like, what's going on, dude? He's like, dude, I had a dream. A bitch dragged me out of the fucking futon. I woke up on your floor. And I'm like, what?
Nice.
Yeah, dude. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, dude, but, sorry.
Go back to bed, son.
he left.
He went home.
Yeah, he went home, dude. He's like,
has he spent the night since?
Yeah, he has. Nothing else has happened, but I've had people tell me, there was one time my buddy Scott came over. Dre was at work, mind you, by the way. This is my ex-fiance, whatever, blah, blah. Not important. So she works third shift like I do. It was my day off. We're in the living room. Here, the living room is, like, right here to my left. On the right, there's, like, this... a kitchen awning, and he saw, like, a shadow move. He's like, hey, what's up, Dre? And I'm like, dude, Dre's at fucking work, bro. And he's like, oh, fuck. Instant goosebumps, bro.
Did he see her or just a shadow? Like, he thought it was her.
He thought there was somebody in my fucking house.
Damn.
Dude. Like, he acknowledged it. He's like, hey, what's up, Dre? And I'm like, dude, she's at fucking work, dude.
Whenever I go to your house, I've only been there less than a handful of times. And there's definitely a creepy ambiance, but only because that's the way you decorate it. You know, you got Ouija boards.
I mean, for sure.
And just crazy Baphomet paintings.
When I moved there.
But I've never thought of anything, like, crazy. You know what I mean?
So anyways, when I first moved into the house, I didn't decorate or anything. Yeah, I have a lot of the occult, satanic, whatever the fuck you want to call it, shit in my house. That's how I want to decorate my house. There's pentagrams, there's basement paintings.
Well, you're not a Satanist.
No, I'm not. I don't.
You just like dark shit. Yeah, you're a metal guy.
Yeah, so.
Like, Baphomet looks cool. Pentagrams look cool.
Like, right when I moved into that house, like, the first day we, like, had the, what do you call it? The
housewarming party, or
not even before I even moved in, the showing. Oh, okay. There's mirrors by the fireplace in the kitchen. I immediately went to the living room. There's a fireplace. There's mirrors above the fireplace. I'm looking at these mirrors. I'm like, Dre, these mirrors are fucking weird. I get a weird feeling from them. That's all I said. She's like, no, they're just fucking mirrors.
People say that spirits can be trapped inside.
She's like, they're just fucking mirrors from the 80s or whatever. I'm like, no, dude, there's something weird about these mirrors. I get a weird fucking feeling, dude. And every now and then, living at my house, I've lived in for 2 years now. 2 fucking years. I'll look in the mirror.
It's been that long since you bought that house?
Yeah, I know, right? It doesn't even seem like that long. So, I always feel like there's a presence there, dude. When, like, it's at your most vulnerable time, though. Not when you're around people. Not when people are partying, drinking, whatever. It's when you're by yourself. And you're in your own, I want to call it, comfort zone, almost.
Right.
You feel like something's watching you, dude. I haven't felt that for a while, but Dre's told me that there's a dude that chills in the corner of our living room. I've seen him before, just walks by, casually chills. There's a female, I think that's the bitch that's been following me since I lived at Beacon Hills, or whatever tragic event happened in my life, that this fucking evil bitch just follows me, dude. And then there's like some weird creature that just makes weird noises in my house. That's what she's told me. I believe it. I haven't heard the weird creature or anything, but I've had multiple people at my house tell me that some weird shit's going on there, dude. I mean, anyone that's listening to this, you're invited to come over, stay the night. I'm not going to guarantee you something crazy going to happen. I'm not going to make anything up. Fucking feel free to come over.
Well, I got equipment. And you and her were saying, like, bring it over, but I'm like, I don't want to, whatever you have going on, make it worse.
Me telling...
I'm not like an exorcist or a fucking professional, I'm just a jerk off with a bunch of fucking ghost hunting equipment. And if I come over, what if I open something up and make it worse, you know? Because if you acknowledge it, it definitely makes it worse. My right. last house, it was fine, shit would get, you know, tossed, whatever, but not at people. But when I started getting drunk and, like, calling it out, that's when I would get fucking hissed at. And shit would get thrown down the stairs. Like, that's when it was fucking weird. And it would only fuck around when I was there. Like, Ligon got drug out of bed. Did I tell you that shit?
No.
I could have swore I did. So, it was right around the peak of all of it. Like, right before we moved out. And I called this fucking thing out. I'm like, quit fucking around. If you were gonna fucking show yourself, do it. But only to me. Quit fucking with my kids. Quit fucking with my wife. Just fuck with me. What's up?
Right.
That night I went to bed.
Square up.
And I'm laying in the bed, like, trying to fall asleep, and I can't. And Lycan's in his bed, and I hear him moaning. So I roll over to see if he's having a bad dream or something. Whoop! He got drug out of his fucking
Holy
bed.
Holy shit.
And it was only, like, halfway. Like, his knees hit the floor. Because his bed was next to our bed. He had a little toddler bed.
Yeah.
And he got drug out and up to about his belly button. And his knees hit the fucking floor. And I'm like, what the fuck? I jumped up, tucked my man back into bed, and I fucking sat up all night long. Like, fuck you, you know? It was fucking wild, dude. Bob's telling me he's not going to come over. We're going to pause this real quick.
Fuck you, Bob.
Fuck you, Bob.
You're going to die. You're going to die in there. Shop with Lucid Mister Shop, a place where all things creepy reside. We create handcrafted eccentric custom resin pieces and apparel that expresses your obsession for all things that are creepy, dark, and odd. Visit us at Lucid Mischief Shop on Etsy and use the code HO1D15 at checkout to save you 15% off. Be unique and stay weird.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the House of a Thousand Discourses. This is my passion project podcast that provides propaganda. That was our last commercial break from Lucid Mischief. Please go check them out. The owner is a very lovely lady. She makes radical horror movie stuff, and she will give you a discount if you mention House of a Thousand Discourses. I'm sitting here with my
official, unofficial co-host. Fuck you, Matt Huff.
What's nice, your name?
Nice try, buddy. It's your boy, Bobby B. I'm back. And guess what? You can't even go through a whole podcast without me ridiculing your ass. Nice try, buddy.
Bobby Digital in the house, if you see him, point him out.
I usurped you as the official, unofficial co-host. And if you got a problem with that, you can catch these hands about it.
Where is Matt Huff right now?
Matt Huff is upstairs sleeping on the couch because he's a bitch.
He's not a bitch. He's just shit hammered. And guess what? So is me and Bob. Yes. Bob came over in the middle of the night to help me record a super secret project. And we did some vocals and drank a bunch of Fireball. And we just figured that we had to hop back in this podcast to
rip on Huff.
That's basically the only reason why we did it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I love Matt Huff very much. We had a radical dude date today.
Yeah,
we went on a dude date. Yeah, it was cool. We went to Buffalo Wild Wings. We had my son. We went and bought some pop figures and went to Devolve practice. And what are you doing next weekend? Want to go see Candyman?
Next weekend? I think I'm running lights for Fozzie, bro. Actually, that might be 2 weeks from now.
What are you doing this Friday or Saturday? Candyman, the new Candyman movie comes out this Friday.
There's a new Candyman movie?
Yeah.
Didn't the first one come out in like the late 80s?
Like 92. 92? Yeah. Tony Todd played Candyman. So there's like a whole new one. It's a spiritual sequel, they call it.
Spiritual sequel.
That's what they call it. Mm. It's not a remake or a reboot. It's a spiritual sequel. Whatever the fuck that means. I guess we'll find out when we watch it.
Do you have to have your chakras aligned before you go and see this sequel?
That or like jerk off before you go into the movie theaters. They're going to have like a black light to make sure that you have semen between your thumb and forefinger. Like, you cannot purchase Blue Icy's unless you have fucking ejaculate in between your thumb and forefinger.
There you go. Or at least it's a discounted price if you have...
Yeah, like 11% off or some shit.
There you go.
You know, I don't know.
That sounds about right to me.
Sounds about left.
Yeah.
So, we just wanted to hop in here and be like, what a dub, and
what a dub.
So, I think we're going to peace out, right? You got any last words? Since you fucking totally interrupted Matt Huff's fucking podcast.
I love you, Matt Huff.
He's going to be pissed.
But you and I are going to be on a podcast at some point here soon enough, and we will fight for the role of the unofficial, official co-host.
We're going to do a fucking fist fight in my backyard, but you both have to wear rubber gloves wrapped in duct tape, and I'm going to buy a fucking shitty-ass couch from Salvation Army. It's going to be a love seat. And you guys can't leave the love seat. You have to sit down ass to ass, and you have to box on a love seat.
That sounds about right. Because you can't have a co-host, bro. That's just too coco.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't. And, dude, that's rocket surgery right there. It makes sense.
Right.
So, and like, you can't, I don't know, like I always say unofficial official co-host, and sometimes I say official unofficial co-host, so I don't even know where I'm at, you know, when I bring it up.
Do, like, do they mean the same thing, though, or do they not?
I don't know, let's walk through this.
Okay, so if you're the official unofficial co-host, you are the unofficial co-host officially.
Right.
But if you're the unofficial official co-host, then you are officially the co-host, but it's not really official like that.
Right. So I think Matt Huff is the official unofficial co-host, and then you're the unofficial official co-host. I think that's how that works.
Is that the happy medium we come to here?
I think so. But after you guys fist fight over it, after you guys wrap your hands in bandages and dip them in hot glue and broken glass shards, and then you guys fist fight to the death, or just until, you know, someone cries or calls their mom to come pick them up.
Probably me.
Nah, I don't know. I don't know, maybe.
I'm a mama's boy, bro.
Who knows? You guys could thumb wrestle over it.
Yeah. I could take him. Why not?
Fuck it, dude.
Yeah, I could see that going down.
All right, Huff Dizzle. We love you. I know you're sleepy on the gigantic couch. I don't know what else to say.
Hope you're comfy.
Hope you're comfy.
But sorry for usurping you, bro. But I'm here to stay.
Yeah. And we'll see you October 9th at Reckless Fest. Maybe I shouldn't have dropped that info. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, nobody listens to this podcast.
Yeah, it's kind of officially announced. We just are making the flyer and finalizing all the details. But October 9th at District, Reckless Fest. It's going to be the shit.
Bring your dicks and sticks.
Yes, yes.
You are now exiting the House of 1,000 Discourses. Bong.